Hello and welcome to the South Carolina Lead. You trust the lead to keep you up to date on important state news, and we've been doing that more often as our state faces the COVID-19 virus. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on September 21st, 2020, from my home studio here in Columbia. Just so you know, some of the information in this podcast may have changed by the time you've heard it. We're back, folks. Here we are. We're back. Hello, vacation. All I did was think about you the entire time, but now we're back. 2 days a week, though. Mark your calendars. A little restricted diet. Tuesdays and Saturdays. This podcast cuts through the noise and gives you South Carolina-specific COVID-19 news and stories. This episode features a look at how you can vote absentee in the November 3rd election, the latest from Senator Lindsey Graham on the future of the Supreme Court nomination process he'll oversee. We find out more about the loose change the Federal Reserve says is still a bit tight, and hear from the U.S. Surgeon General, who was recently in Columbia. Additionally, we want to hear your stories, so we set up a voicemail box to hear from y'all about your daily life in these uncertain times. Leave us a 1 to 3 minute long voicemail at 803-563-7169. Include your name, where you're calling from, and what's going on in your world. Tell us about how school's going, what work is like, what you're thinking about the election, how you're going to vote in the election. We want to know. Let us know, 803-563-7169. We missed you. Now for the latest in South Carolina. Currently, the spread of COVID-19 is ongoing, widespread, and not contained, according to Department of Health and Environmental Control data. There have been 3,040 deaths, and currently there are 134,884 cases being reported in all 46 counties as of September 21st at 4 p.m. Monday, September 21st, marked the 14th straight day of having under 1,000 new cases in a 24-hour period. That's very exciting news to see there. Monday also marked the lowest number of daily deaths since July, with just 6 on Monday. Our current percent positive rate is 9.5%. That's the second day in a row the rate has been under 10%, a place we haven't been for in some time. Currently, there are 733 patients hospitalized with COVID-19. 203 patients are in intensive care, and 123 are ventilated. So these are great numbers to see that we need to keep improving by maintaining our routines to avoid large crowds, wear masks while in public, and continue to practice hand hygiene. Also, it's time to start looking into getting that flu shot, folks. Roll up those sleeves. Hey, guess what? All registered voters in South Carolina can vote absentee for the November 3rd election. This now months after the State Election Commission asked for immediate action to help secure the election and make it easier to vote during the ongoing pandemic. Well, it's here now. Governor Henry McMaster signed the bill into law last week, which will allow for no excuse absentee voting like we saw for the June primaries. Here's the governor.
We know more about the virus and what to do than we did before. But we still had to take some measures to see to it that we would have a safe election that would be reliable, where the integrity of the process would be protected. And I'm just delighted to say that in just a few minutes, I will sign into law the work that those that you see here standing before you have done to bring us to this moment for this election.
Senator Chip Campson, a Charleston Republican, said compromises on the bill demonstrate how well state lawmakers work together in comparison to what's typically seen in places like Washington.
This could have been, the press interviewed me a few times on this after I proposed the bill that we passed that applied to the primary, and it creates a state of emergency as a reason why you can vote through the normal absentee process. And at that time I said, now is the time for statesmanship, not showmanship. Because there's a lot of showmanship that could have been demonstrated on this bill. Nobody got everything they wanted. I authored the original bill that for the primary. I was very involved in drafting this bill for the general election. I didn't get everything I wanted. But I knew we were in a position, procedurally, where we could not pass anything unless there was virtually unanimous agreement.
Orangeburg Democratic Representative Jerry Govan, who is also the head of the South Carolina Legislative Black Caucus, echoed similar sentiments of his Republican colleague.
We stand here as both Democrats and Republicans, black and white, drawn together by a pandemic with the common goal of ensuring that progress continues. This is not to say that we still don't have differences, but what it says is that when people of goodwill work together, they can make progress and move forward.
Also, you will not need a witness signature to cast your absentee ballot by mail. That provision was struck down by a federal judge on Friday. The move usurps the recently signed law that still required a witness signature, something U.S. District Court Judge Michelle Childs said would only increase the risk of contracting COVID-19. The decision, however, can still be appealed. Now, you can request your absentee ballot right now. That's right, folks. You can do it right now. Check out scvotes.org for everything you need to know. You can even download your application online and print it out and then send it to your county's elections office. You can mail it, or if you're really cool, you can fax it. You can also apply for your ballot in person at your county's election office. You can begin voting absentee in person at those locations starting October 5th. Now, absentee ballot applications must be received by your county voter offices by 5 p.m. on October 24th if sent by the mail, and by 5 p.m. on October 30th if applications are received in person. So some key dates are all on scvotes.org, and I got some more for you. October 2nd is the last day to register in person to vote. October 4th is the last day to register online to vote. You have to do that by 11:59 p.m. October 4th. Now, registering to vote via mail, you can do that as long as it's postmarked by October 5th. So just go register to vote. Don't worry about all these dates. Just go do it. Do it as fast and as soon as you can if you haven't done so already. Moving on, Senator Lindsey Graham's race has been downgraded from likely Republican to lean Republican by Sabato's crystal ball on Monday. Now, this is due in part to the neck-and-neck polling we've been seeing, massive fundraising momentum, and the possibility that Democrat Jamie Harrison could play better than expected in Charleston and Columbia suburbs where there are competitive House races. And now, as the senator seeks his fourth term, lightning has struck again, those are his words, as he said during a lunch in North Charleston while campaigning for State Representative Nancy Mace's first congressional district bid. While Mace and Senator Tim Scott gave remarks, Graham's sparked the most interest as it was one of his first speeches following the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg on Friday. But Graham did not mince words when he said, as Judiciary Committee chairman, that he will take the charge in moving forward with the nomination process, despite very public previous statements to the contrary.
But under the Constitution, we have a job to do it, right?
Yes.
I'm here to tell the people of South Carolina, I intend to do my job as chairman of the Judiciary Committee. My job is to have hearings. And when the nomination comes over, to timely process this nominee, and I intend to vote for the nominee to be sent. I don't know exactly who it is. It's a very short list, and all of them are outstanding women.
Right.
So as to me, I will be leading the charge to make sure that President Trump's nominee has a hearing, goes to the floor of the United States Senate for a vote, because that is my job, and I believe I am doing what the people of South Carolina want me to do in this regard.
Here is one of those Graham statements from March 2016 in a Senate hearing.
I want you to use my words against me. If there's a Republican president in 2016 and a vacancy occurs in the last year of the first term, you can say, Lindsey Graham said, let's let the next president, whoever it might be, make that nomination, and you could use my words against me, and you'd be absolutely right.
Graham is now spinning those remarks to say it's because of the 2018 Brett Kavanaugh hearings that have changed everything, including his previous stances to postpone nomination hearings until after a presidential election.
It used not be this way, but what's happened since Judge Bork and Thomas is an effort to destroy conservative judges. No good deed goes unpunished in Washington. After that hearing, I told anybody that wanted to listen, it changed everything for me about the way the process works. After having voted for their judges, I witnessed the wholesale destruction of a good man's life. Yes. Brett Kavanaugh I have known personally for 20 years. No finer choice than any Republican could have made. Eminently qualified. And when I spoke on his behalf, I believe I was speaking for you.
Yes.
I believe I was speaking for the people of South Carolina. So Jamie Harrison feels like he should be running because what I did for Judge Kavanaugh. I think I will get reelected because of what I did for Judge Kavanaugh.
And again, here is Graham in 2018 asking voters to mark his words and hold him accountable.
Now I'll tell you this. This may make you feel better, but I really don't care. If an opening comes in the last year of President Trump's term and the primary process has started, we'll wait to the next election. And I've got a pretty good chance of being the judiciary.
You're on the record.
Yeah.
All right.
Hold the tape.
Graham didn't give any details on when hearings will take place, though they are expected quickly after a nominee is announced, which is expected by this weekend, according to media outlets. Now, after posing for a quick photo with Scott and Mace, Graham said, "I'll see you all on TV," which is where most of his campaigning will now seemingly take place. In speaking with his campaign, it's unclear how much of his original plan for October will remain intact. Goodbye, bus tour? Now, Graham quickly left the North Charleston restaurant en route to the airport. There was no press gaggle, and he didn't respond to questions when asked while walking to his car. And as we close out, I just want to let you know that we found out on September 14th that Lieutenant Governor Pamela Evatt was diagnosed with COVID-19. Evatt began suffering from mild symptoms days before the announcement and decided to self-quarantine. Now let's get an unemployment update. South Carolina's unemployment rate for August had a big drop to 6.3% from July's revised 8.7%. This according to the SC Department of Employment and Workforce. Now from April to August, the unemployment rate has been halved. So that's some pretty good news right there. DOE Executive Director Dan Elzey said in a statement that, quote, "Unlike the Great Recession, which was a slower economic decline and an excruciating slow economic rebound, the COVID-19 pandemic wreaked havoc quickly on our workforce and economy, but was equally met with an encouraging, swift recovery. We are by no means back to normal in our state, but these milestones should be acknowledged and celebrated," quote. Also, just an update on the extra money from the federal government. The extra $300 in unemployment assistance will soon be forthcoming, Elzey added. Once implemented, South Carolina's LWA will provide $300 in additional money to claimants each week. To be eligible for the LWA, a claimant must certify that they were unemployed or partially unemployed due to COVID-19 disruptions and be eligible to receive at least $100 in state or federal unemployment benefits during the weeks covered by the program. The weeks that claimants would be eligible to receive back pay are claim weeks ending August 1st, 8th, and 15th. Now let's change things up. Literally. Boom, 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 boom. Have you seen those signs talking about the U.S. Federal Reserve coin shortage? Do you even use coins? Do you only use coins? We want to hear from you for sure if that's the case. But COVID-19 has caused many disruptions in people's daily lives, and one of the unexpected obstacles facing businesses around the state and country, as if there weren't enough, is a shortage of coins. South Carolina Public Radio's Tut Underwood has this report.
The sound of coins dropping on cash register counters has been heard less frequently in the last few months. That's because the nation and state have encountered a coin shortage. The reason, according to USC economics professor Bill Hawk, is COVID-19.
The U.S. Mint was shut down a little bit due to social distancing, and there weren't as many coins being produced. That's largely over. What we are still having problems with, though, is a lot of people aren't going out and shopping as much. And then when people are going shopping, what they're doing is paying more with debit cards, credit cards.
Hawk said there actually are plenty of coins out there.
The problem is, due to the COVID situation, people aren't spending those coins. So a lot of them are probably, you know, sitting in a jar at home or in somebody's pockets or in our couch cushions. And this is severe enough that it is starting to cause some problems for banks and certain stores.
USC finance professor Oz Inje named some of the businesses that are being hardest hit by the shortage.
Any business that deals with small amount of transactions tend to be in cash and use coins. Convenience stores, laundromats, public transportation, vending machines, and grocery stores. About 60% of sales in grocery stores and convenience stores are actual cash payments. So businesses that depend on cash tend to be affected more.
NJ said sometimes the businesses themselves make the problem worse.
If you're a small business owner, of course, what do you think? Well, there's a coin shortage. I don't want to be affected by it. So if any coin comes my way, I will hoard it. I'm not going to circulate it. So if people are incentivized to hoard, that makes the shortage even worse.
The shortage affects many businesses because they often don't have enough coins to give change for purchases. But some stores are getting creative, NJ said.
So for example, we are seeing stores put the change in store card or offer to donate the change or give discounts on certain items if people bring a certain amount of coins. For example, if you bring $5 of coins, you're going to get a small discount. So they are figuring out ways to incentivize people to either donate or not want to change back or to bring coins into the business.
Hawk said there's a segment of the business world that is not affected by the shortage at all.
Online businesses that do transactions pretty much entirely electronically, so, you know, your Amazons, are generally not affected because they're doing basically all of their business electronically, people paying with debits and credit cards.
And paying with credit or debit cards is something smaller businesses also are asking of their customers, Hawk said. He added that the shortage will likely end as more businesses open up and people get out and shop more. But he said there are steps that shoppers can take to help out.
It's a problem that probably will resolve itself in the long run. But I think what we can do is, if you do have exact change, go ahead and pay with that at stores. If you have, you know, a big jar of coins at home, you can either take them to your bank and exchange them or, you know, use like a Coinstar machine or something like that.
Historically, there have been other coin shortages for different reasons, the latest being a penny shortage in 1974. But most have not lasted long, said NJ. Hawk added that the coin shortage may be a step in the country eventually becoming a cashless society. But he said it's unlikely that would happen for a long time.
As we leave our business section, I want to let you know that the Post and Courier had a great article on the state of play facing the future of where the Boeing 787 Dreamliner will be manufactured. The aircraft is manufactured and assembled in North Charleston and at the Boeing plant in Everett, Washington. North Charleston, which is the only location to produce the 787-10 version of the wide-body aircraft, is looking like the favorite location as the company is looking to consolidate the manufacturing lines. This in light of the slump in demand for such aircraft due to the ongoing pandemic. Now, one main thing counting against the plant is ongoing quality control concerns that led to the recent grounding of 8 Dreamliners. And now for our quick medical section, a man with many names and who does need an introduction, U.S. Surgeon General Vice Admiral Jerome Adams was in Colombia over the weekend to kick off surge testing in the capital city as part of a federal response to mitigate spikes in the area. One way they'll be helping to lower numbers is through the creation of a multi-day nasal testing drive-through at Martin Luther King Jr. Park in Colombia. Acting Director of Public Health Dr. Brandon Traxler was there, and she outlined how the surge testing event taking place fits in with DHEC's current testing strategy.
In addition to working with our partners to hold these large-scale testing events, like today's surge testing event here, we are continuing to look at ways to increase testing and access to it across the state. This includes ensuring that every county in the state has at least one no-cost community-based testing event per week, and the larger counties will even have 2 or 3 events per week. We're providing testing daily in the large metropolitan areas, and we're increasing the average number of testing opportunities from just under 8 events a day to over 12 events a day now statewide, and that continues to increase. To ensure South Carolina has the capacity to increase these testing efforts, we've contracted with 4 additional labs, bringing our total lab capacity to 8,800 specimens a day. And as part of the agreed-upon contracts with these labs, each contractor must process the specimens and provide results within 48 hours of receipt of the specimen.
Surgeon General Adams noted just how important it will be to be aware as we head into the flu season on top of COVID-19's continued presence.
I want people to understand this is going to be perhaps the most important flu season of our lifetimes. It is critically important that we not have a bad flu season on top of a bad COVID season, because it could overwhelm our healthcare systems, and it will also confuse our ability to be able to screen for COVID. Here's what I mean. Many places that you're going into now do a symptom check, or they do a temperature check. And if you screen positive, they're not going to let you in. And if you have severe symptoms, they may have to contact trace everyone you've been in contact with and shut down that institution. Well, if you're coming in with flu that could have been prevented by taking a vaccine and you screen positive, then it's going to cause a lot of trouble for you and for the institutions you're trying to encounter. We can truly help our communities, save ourselves, and save others by getting a flu vaccine this year. Also important to get in the habit of doing the right things, because we know that people who get their flu vaccines are going to be more likely to get a COVID vaccine. And I want you to know that I will be among the first in line when I have an opportunity to get a COVID vaccine, because I know it will be safe. I know it will be effective. We have the safest vaccines in the world and the safest vaccines in history. And that's because of the process we go through.
The federal surge testing plan has the capacity to test 5,000 folks a day for the next couple weeks, according to Dr. Traxler. Now, over the past 7 days, we've averaged about 5,000 tests a day, just for your own little context there. You can find a testing location near you by visiting scdhec.gov/COVID-19testing. That's more that you can find out about, and the more you know, the better you will be. Now, welcome back to our wind down section, folks. I don't know how you did it without a week of us. We had a week-long wind down section, I feel like. So tell us what you were up to. Tell us what you listened to instead. If you've replaced us with a podcast, hopefully you're back, because we're back.
Irreplaceable.
We are irreplaceable. Fact. But tell us what's going on in your world. We want to know. 803-563-7169. With the weather's changing, we're changing, everything's changing. How are you changing? 803-563-7169. Do we even have any voicemails, AT?
We have some old voicemails that we're going to hit. We're sorry it's taken so long. Not really sorry, because we earned that break, you know? Yeah. Sorry, not sorry.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry not.
But we have a few. We got a few repeat callers. I think we only got one during our break.
That's
which
cool.
is paltry. So I'm shaming you.
They didn't have the 3 day a week shaming.
That's right. So
they're like, we're finally a break from the shame.
We're gonna get one from a repeat caller, Rose up in Greenville.
Yeah,
she called before our break. So let's get to it. Chippy, quiet. I'm trying to roll.
Your production assistant is noxious.
Let's roll the tape, Chips.
Hey guys, it's Rose in Greenville County again. Just to give you an update, we've started school again. We have one enrolled in the district's virtual program, because that's the only way we're guaranteed to have the special education support services every day. And our older student is in person, because that's how he was able to get the courses that he needed. So we are actually blessed to be able to afford to upgrade our broadband and to purchase extra LED monitors for the kids so they're not working off of the Chromebook. So I really feel for those that are struggling with that. I'm used to dealing with video conferences all day and lots of platforms, so that hasn't been too difficult for us. Over the summer, our Girl Scout troop worked on a patch celebrating the centennial of the 19th Amendment, and we really appreciated the Sisterhood South Carolina Suffragists series, and that really inspired them. They were particularly interested in the episode on the Rollins sisters. Recently, our library opened up, and we spent a blessed 15 minutes in the library. It was fantastic, so we're really glad that they're able to do that for us. Additionally, I registered to be a poll manager this year, and I'm hoping that maybe you'll do a section on being a poll worker and how to register, and even that, you know, older high school students can do that. Love listening to the pod and looking forward to the upcoming weeks.
Well, thanks for calling again, Rose. It's always great to hear from you, especially to hear how things are going for you and your family with your kids back at school. Interesting to hear about the challenges, how you're working around things. We'd love to hear from more folks about how you're handling back to school with your kids. Just really appreciate it because it's such a challenge, and that's one that, you know, I don't have to deal with AT. You don't have to deal with, you know, we have friends that are dealing with it, but we're interested to hear how you're handling it.
Yeah, I mean, we both can't relate. Sorry, Chippy just scratched me in the back. Rose, thank you for calling. We both don't have children, so we are basically just
spinsters. I will tell you something. If we're going to talk about things we learned over our break, which I think you wanted to talk about, I can tie that in right now. I can segue into that.
You were around children.
I was around children for a week. We were just saying neither of us have kids. I don't have any pets either. So it's relatively quiet in my home, and that doesn't really exist when you have kids, I learned.
No.
Like, I love my nephews. I haven't seen him in a long time. I saw my new one that was born March 17th. He's a St. Patrick's Day baby, Charlie. He is Chunky Charlie because he weighs 25 pounds at 6 months, massive child. But he was relatively quiet. He was pretty well behaved. But then I have a 4-year-old and a 3-year-old nephews, and they talk a lot, which is fun. They're really smart. They're engaging.
Sounds like you're fishing for compliments.
But they're just like, you know, they're always asking for things, and it's like, just go. You know, you just want to be like, just go do it, but you can't because they have to have, you know, someone help them, and you have to keep an eye on them at all times. And if there's a pool, you want to make sure you're not near the pool, and it's just like, it's constant.
Don't handle it yourself, kid.
It's constant from like waking up until like they get put down. And
so you want one.
So I'm saying I really have a newfound respect for parents out there, especially those with toddlers, because that is a lot of work. And I can't imagine juggling that with kids in school, different ages. I mean, prayers are with you. It was still a fun vacation. It was great. But, you know, I was with them for the whole week, and then they left early Friday.
You sound tired talking about it.
I don't know how much a vacation it was. It was a lot of Gavin, Uncle Gavin, can we play Yahtzee? And I'm like, you don't even know how to count that well. I mean, they can, but it was good to teach them. You know, it was fun to kind of teach them some things. And, you know, my brother and his wife, you know, they do a good job keeping up on the kids. But I feel like when you have someone else telling you no, like if I, you know, they tell them no all the time. But then here I come, there's like third party that they don't really hear from all the time. It sticks, you know. So I'm like, okay, I have the authority. And then my other brother, Colin, just like didn't even like really tune in with them.
some parents, like when they're on vacation, they're checking out. You know what I mean?
They were on top of it. I'll give them
this
that.
This is my vacation. Do you deal with it?
Yeah. I mean, it was kind of good because I haven't seen them well. So, you know, that was there. But that kind of runs out after day three or so. You're like, okay, can I just have quiet? Luckily, I had like my own space in the basement, or the first floor, I should say, of this beach house.
You were a basement dweller?
There was four bunk beds, so I had my own bunk room. So I was sleeping in like a single bed, which actually wasn't that bad.
That sounds sad.
But it would have been sad if it was like my real reality. But I'm used to going on these beach vacations like with all my cousins, my aunts and my uncles, and I'm always stuck because, you know, I'm not married or, you know, have anyone to bring with me. So I'm just like, oh, you can go sleep on a couch somewhere, Gavin, or bring an inflatable bed, which I'm like, whatever. I'm not paying for this beach vacation, so I'll take whatever I get. Right. This time I was excited because I had a bed. So
you got a bed, but and three other lonely beds in the same room.
It's very eerie.
But my experiences were very different. I just stayed here the whole time. Caitlin watched she made me watch Indian Matchmaking on Netflix, which is a crazy weird show.
Yeah, I've heard.
Very strange. What else? Your Washington football team won the first of the two yearly lead bowls because the Eagles are garbage.
Yeah, but, poor thing. You had a lot of
tougher. It's the first time in my life where it was a very existential crisis where it was like I didn't want the Eagles to be on. I didn't want them playing. And that was sad to me. I was like, I just want them to go away. I don't want this right now. I wish I couldn't.
We both learned things about
fly,
ourselves.
Fly away. I felt like Jenny and Forrest Gump. The one thing, the biggest thing that happened to me that there's only a before and after of it happening in my life. I'm a changed person now. Is that, there needs some context here. So every 4 years around that, because my wife's, she doesn't like to do it. She cooks me bakes me these cookies. Basically the only cookies I like, right? And they're a chocolate cookie with Reese's Pieces in it, right? So it's a brown cookie, Reese's Pieces in it. So Chippy and I were sitting around. I was eating a cookie, and I savor these cookies, right? I like these cookies. And so I eat one. I look down and I see a brown morsel on my shirt. And I was like, I'm eating that crumb. I ate it. It's not a piece of cookie.
Good God.
It was Chippy's eye booger.
You had a lot going on last week for having a chill week.
It was awful. It was salty and disgusting.
I don't know if I would tell people this, but I mean, thank you for sharing. I admire your strength.
My dad, when I told my dad, he's like, "You ate a poop, didn't you?" And I was like, "No,
I thought you were saying some sort of vomit projectile or something."
No, as cats are wont to project many things out, but it was an eye booger, which Chippy is known for. So I've eaten a cat eye booger. If anyone else has,
it's a good never have I ever right there. Yeah. It was a good week off. It was a little stormy because of all the stuff going on out to sea, but we had some nice days and. It's good to be back. That water's so cold up in North Carolina, which is still surprising in September. But, you know, you're spoiled by South Carolina waters, I tell you.
Where it's the same temperature as the air? Yeah, it's great. God,
yeah, even right now. So,
I'm happy we're back. Are you happy we're back?
I'm happy to be back. I have purpose again. I'm excited. The roses smell.
I just listlessly walked my house waiting for this day.
We took a week off, but we didn't really take the week off. I mean, I did.
I was like really a ghost in my own home. Well,
I was focused on winning.
Thank you for listening.
So we're back again 2 days a week, Tuesdays and Saturdays. We're going to start getting you some more trail bites in there, get some familiar voices on there because we are ramping up, folks. So stay tuned. And thanks again for listening to the pod. Y'all show your support by leaving us a review on iTunes. That really helps us get some traction out there, or a voicemail. 803-563-7169 with what's going on in your world. You can stay up to date with the latest news on SCETV.org and SouthCarolinaPublicRadio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. Also, consider becoming an ETV member. Membership starts at just $40, and if you pledge at the $75 level, you get access to PBS Passport and all the great programming your donation helps support. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
So meaty, baby.
Ooh.
Oh, our numbers are never going to recover.